This is Right From the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show.
Welcome, friends. We cannot wait to talk to you this week. We're excited about what we have to say. But first, I've got to remind you just a little bit about our last episode, number 43, because that's the episode that got us thinking about this episode. So
that's right.
In that last episode, we talked with award-winning author Alton Gansky about traveling in the deep. And he had some wonderful insights for us, but it also made us think. It did, because we walked this fine line. You know, we don't want to strive to get out of the deep. So we need some patient endurance, but there should ultimately be this sense of movement in God's time. There's this progression, this learning and growing. It is a journey. But the trouble is, when we're journeying in the deep, there are snares, there's traps we can fall into.
One of the problems with these traps is that they capture us and they keep us from moving forward. They keep us from hearing God's call because we get so immersed in it and hearing the wrong voices and hearing lies and things that just entangle our hearts and our spirits. And so we want to talk about a couple of those snares that the enemy puts there to keep us trapped in the deep. And one of the biggest ones is resentment. You know, resenting the fact that we're there to begin with. And why is that a problem? Why is resentment a problem? Well, if you start looking at resentment and the consequences of it in a person's life, I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever resented somebody, and I have, the fruit of that resentment is dangerous because it can lead us to some very dark places. It can lead us to rebellion, to willful disobedience, to arrogance. All of these things end up leading to separation from God. And that can lead us to physical consequences, broken relationships, loss of perspective.
And all of that provides a foothold for the enemy's lies. And
exactly.
We don't want that. So let's go back and talk a little bit about what is it that we resent.
Well, I know for myself and for others that I've talked with, it's the fact that we're in these deep places at all. I mean, haven't we suffered enough? And I don't deserve it. I haven't done anything bad enough to have to be in this kind of a place. We like to look at where we are in our circumstances as kind of whether we're being repaid or whether we deserve it. But folks, let's get down and dirty here. What does the scripture say about what we deserve? Psalm 14:2-3 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one."
And Psalm 51:5, this is David talking, and he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And here's a guy who was known as a man after God's own heart, and yet he's also a sinner. This psalm was written about the time that he committed adultery and murdered Uriah the Hittite.
Yeah, not exactly good things to be doing. And then in Romans 2, it says to us, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart." And let's be honest, guys, we all deal with stubbornness, and at times we have unrepentant hearts. I know I do. Romans goes on to say, "You are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done."
And what is that payment? Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But really, it's the gift. That's what we're needing to understand. It's only a gift that we have forgiveness. We don't, we can't earn it.
Right. And so it's not about what we deserve. Being in the deep isn't because we deserve it or because we don't deserve it. It just is. It's a fact of life. It's a part of the journey. Sometimes we look on it as punishment because we know that we've done something wrong. We've made a misstep. And so now we're being punished for it. God's coming down on me and I'm in this deep place. So why am I being punished? But scripture tells us refinement isn't punishment, guys. It comes out of God's love for us.
Yes, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
I know.
Hebrews 12:11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
And I like Proverbs 3:11-14. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And that verse is followed up with joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, more profitable than hitting the bestseller list, more
yes.
profitable than selling 100,000 copies of anything that you've written. Wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. There is gain in correction from God. Whatever the reason we're in this deep place, it doesn't matter. The fact that we're here will ultimately be used for our good and for God's glory.
And don't forget, we talk about this a lot. Even Jesus suffered. Hebrews 2:10 says this, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation.
So resenting that you're in the deep because you think you don't deserve it, or resenting that you're in the deep because you're being punished, none of those are constructive. Those things will capture you and entangle you and get your focus on yourself instead of on God. So what else do we resent? Well, do you guys ever play the comparison game? Do you find yourself resenting that other people don't seem to suffer like we do? I just spent an evening in the ER dealing with migraine pain, and it was horrific. And I confess, at one point, I was just sitting there and thinking, why do I have to keep going through this? Why? You know, I know so many people who've never been in an ER to begin with, or I see posts on Facebook, for the first time ever, I went to the ER, and I'm thinking, good night. They know me by name there. I have my own room with a little placard on the outside. This is Karen's room. You know, so why do I have to keep going through this? And we tend sometimes, okay, let's admit this. We look at somebody and we say, listen, I'm way better than that guy over there. And I don't see him suffering like this. Well, the truth is we don't know what's happening in another person's life. Look at what scripture says about focusing on ourselves and our own faith, not looking at what God is doing with others. In Galatians 6:4-5, it says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry his own load.
You know, even if we're not looking at all those other people who are, you know, not suffering,
right?
We still can resent that feeling of constant affliction, that it's
right.
One more struggle, yet another one. Haven't I been through enough? You know, we're tired of long suffering because
yes,
it feels
yes,
like
yes.
constant. But I looked at scripture about that, and, you know, the Apostle Paul had constant afflictions, you know,
right.
and they included getting flogged not once, not twice, but five times. Those are just some of the things. And on top of
right.
all that, he says in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, so ouch, it's really hard to delight in our weaknesses, insults, persecutions. Right. But the whole point here of what Paul was doing was turning his afflictions around into a chance to bring glory to Christ. He was not focusing on himself, but on what this can do for the great name of God.
And acknowledging that it's about Christ, it's not about us, we're vessels, and he utilizes us as he desires, and it's an honor to be used for any purpose that God has for us. And yet we resent sometimes the fact that God didn't save us or save those we love from the dark places and the deep places, when he's clearly done it for others. I mean, doesn't he love me as much as he loves them? I remember when a friend of mine, her mother died maybe a month after my mom died, and it was really hard for me when my mom died, and it was devastating, and my mom was only 70, and I felt like we lost her a lot sooner than we should have. Well, my friend's mom had gotten sick, and they told the story at the ceremony that she had gotten really sick. They thought they were going to lose her, and she rallied, and they had 3 more months with her. And I'm sitting there at the funeral and I'm listening to that and I'm thinking, why didn't I get 3 more months with my mom? Mm-hmm. That's just not fair. And I found myself getting angry and resentful with God. And then they went on with their story to say, in those 3 months, her mom came to know Jesus. She hadn't known him. And she came to know Jesus and accepted him as her savior just a week before she died. Mm-hmm. And as I sat there immersed in all of that, God came and put his arm around my shoulders. And he said, Karen, you didn't need 3 more months with your mom. She knew me. She's known me all her life and she's with me. And you will see her again. Your friend needed those 3 months to ensure that she would see her mom again in eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to recognize that God's purposes are working in our lives and they're working in other people's lives, and his reasons are his reasons, and we have to trust him for his goodness. Remember, Psalm 86:13 says, great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead.
Now, we've talked about all these things that happen when we're resentful and the ways we resent, but let's talk about how to avoid this snare to begin with. And one of the first things to do is what we've been doing. Keep your perspective grounded in God's truth, not why me, but why not me? Jesus is our suffering Savior, and he tells us that we're going to suffer as well.
Seek the counsel of people that you know and trust, people whose faith you know is well-grounded. When those feelings hit, that resentment or looking at others, go to your friends and be vulnerable. Ask them for prayer and counsel so that they can speak truth to you and get your focus off of yourself and your circumstances and onto God.
And be aware of and keep a check on your expectations. So all of these things that we're talking about, these are ways that we can be preventative. You know, if our attitude is right, it helps us avoid. And so making sure we're aware of what our expectations are and that they're centered on God's will, not my will, but your will be done.
Right. And cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Do it before you end up in the deep so that it provides that foundation for you so that you can count it all joy. And go back and listen, if you haven't done it, to episode 22 at rightfromthedeep.com, because that's our podcast on how we learn to count it all joy when we face trials and suffering. Not because we're so glad that this is happening, but because we know that God is at work and we cultivate that spirit of gratitude for his hand in our lives, for his presence with us in the deep, for the fact that we know he's with us and he will guide us.
And even so, some of us may find ourselves in that snare. Even so, it's probably going to happen. So let's talk about how to escape that snare when you've been caught in it. And again, the first thing there is to acknowledge it. And acknowledge, too, that this is a feeling. Resentment is a feeling, nothing more. It doesn't mean we don't feel it. It doesn't mean it doesn't have power. But it's not the truth, and it's not reality. It's not a reality based in the truth of who God is and what our circumstances really are. But it's how we feel, and let's be okay with that. Let's just say, okay, that's how we feel, and acknowledge that.
And when we acknowledge it and we say, all right, Lord, I'm feeling resentful here, the next thing to do is to understand why you're feeling that way. Ask God, why am I feeling like this? What is the core of this resentment that I'm feeling? What's the why of these feelings? Dig deep and then write it down. And you have to be brave with this. We all have that ugly human side. That's why we need Jesus. We need a savior because we're sinful. Don't feel worse about yourself when you do this. Simply look at it, accept it, and then move on.
And then ask God to show you how to deal with that core or those cores that you've discovered. Because here's the thing, God wants to deal with them and he wants you to deal with them. He wants your restoration. He doesn't want to keep you stuck and he doesn't want you beating yourself up. He wants your restoration. And so seek his forgiveness, seek his truth, seek his light. Listen to this verse from 1 John 1:9. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's ready and willing.
Amen. And then, and this can be hard, but with God's presence and his help, we can do it. Ask forgiveness from anyone you've harmed because of your resentment. We need to be open and honest with our brothers and sisters, and we need to be willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and before those that we've harmed. Go to them, ask them their forgiveness, ask God to lead you and to show you what to say, and then you can let go of it and go on.
Exactly that. That's the last step. Let go of it. Leave it with God and move forward. We can't hang on to guilt. We can't hang on to bashing ourselves. We can't hang on to any of that. You've confessed, you've repented, and now it's time to move forward.
Amen. So being in the deep is going to happen for all of us at some point. We know that already. We've seen that from the guests that we've had in, from the emails and the notes that we've gotten from all of you. The deep is a place where we're all going to spend time. The enemy knows that far better than we do. And he knows exactly how to set snares that will entangle us and keep us trapped there, even make us blind so that we can't move forward or see what God has for us there, make us deaf to his guidance and that whisper that he has to tell us which way to go. And one of the enemy's most effective snares is the poison of resentment. And it is a poison. It will infuse your heart and spirit if you let it gain ground and take root inside of you. But God is aware of the enemy's plans and traps, and he's already given us the key to avoiding those snares. He knows there'll be times we end up entangled, and he's given us the way to escape. He's given us everything we need to deal with this obstacle, with this particular snare in the deep. All you have to do, friends, is lean into him and let him set you free.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.